Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
We're here today because we love Jesus. I love Jesus and you love Jesus. We love Jesus and we love one another. I love Jesus and I love his disciples. Do you love his disciples? I do. I love Peter. I love Peter when he stepped out of the boat. I love Peter when he said all the wrong things at the wrong time. I can so identify with Peter. Peter's always been my guy. And this week, it was Paul and I. Do you know how tough these disciples are? Do you know how tough Paul was? Sometimes we need to be tough. Sometimes life brings us tough things. And I might have preached this recently, and I'm not going to apologize. I'm just going to say, come with me. Come with me because there's nowhere else I can be. Because you know what? Today I need to be tough. And sometimes you guys need to be tough. And I look at Paul and I think, this guy was tough. He wasn't tough in himself, he was tough in Jesus. I watched my mom walk her life. My mom was tough. They made them good in the old days. She was about 90 pounds soaking wet. She was tough. She came through polio. She came through breast cancer. She came through diabetes. She broke her femur. I'm telling you, she was tough. And some of us need to be tough, that kind of tough that we get from Jesus. So I want to speak to you today out of 2 Timothy. This is the last letter, the last written words that we have from this apostle, because he's sitting in a prison, and it doesn't have the luxury of maybe that you might think of, and I've been into the prisons, and there isn't really any luxury there, so it was more like a dungeon. So he's sitting in a dungeon, and he's all by himself. He is alone. And he decides he's going to write a letter. He's going to write a letter to Timothy, who feels like his son. He doesn't have his own son, but this is his son. This is his son in the Lord. You know, you can have children in the Lord. You can have parents in the Lord. You can have relatives in the Lord. I've got kids in the Lord. I got birth kids, and I got kids in the Lord. You guys have got kids in the Lord. So this is his Lord kid. And this letter is from Paul. And the last words on someone's deathbed, you better listen to what they're saying, because that's what really matters, right? This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God. Not appointed by man, not self-appointed. You know that I'm the self-appointed, uncontested Queen of Rundle. Nobody has ever argued me that. I could add chosen by God. Maybe not. I won't go that far. Self-appointed, uncontested Queen of Rundle. Paul was chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. And he says, I've been sent out to tell others about the life God has promised through faith in Christ Jesus. That's kind of our life too, right? Sent out to tell others about the life that God has promised through faith in Christ Jesus. So I hope that you're doing that. I hope that you're going out in your life and telling others about the life that God has promised you. And he said, I'm writing to Timothy, my dear son. May God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord give you grace, mercy, and peace. Grace, God's undeserved, unmerited favor. Mercy, when you deserve judgment, you get mercy. And peace, that powerful, unmovable, unshakable sense of everything is okay in the storm. Unmovable. It's a deep peace. And Jesus said, my peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. He is our peace. I can't manufacture my own peace. He's my peace. And he said, I'm going to give you my peace. So he says, so here he is, he's by himself in really dire circumstances, and he's writing this letter, And these are his last words, and their last words to this one. I just picture them like if he could just pull up a chair and have Timothy sitting right across from him, their knees would be touching, and he'd be almost grabbing him by the shoulders and saying, listen to me. And sometimes I do that to my kids. I do this. You know that, hey? Sometimes I do it to my grandkids. You listen to me. So Timothy says, I thank God for you. In this circumstance that he's in, what's he doing? He's thanking God. First thing off, in dire circumstances, in the dungeon, in the prison, what do? You just thank God. You don't understand it. I don't get it. I'm going to thank God. I'm going to thank God in the middle of my circumstances. Timothy, I thank God for you, the God I serve with a clear conscience. He's not serving God, worried about, oh God, and you know, I'm worried about this, and I should have that, and I should have, he's come to the end, and he said, I got a clear conscience. Isn't that beautiful? Have a clear conscience between you and your Savior. There's nothing on the table. There's nothing in between you. It's all clear. You've made it clear. It's clear. Just as my ancestors did. Night and day, day and night, I constantly remember you in my prayers. I long to see you again, for I remember your tears as we parted. They had a tearful parting. They were holding on to one another, crying, and I will be filled with joy when we are together again. As far as we know, that never did happen. I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. So he's thinking about this young man's life, and he said, I remember that faith that's so deep in you. I saw it. It was planted there by your grandmothers, grandfathers. Pay attention. You matter. You are important. You are planting something in this next generation and the generation to follow that is going to stand up in the storm. That thing that you are planting is going to stand up. And Paul is recognizing the work of these two women in the life of this young man who is going to take this message and he's going to carry it on. It matters. Keep planting. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. He can see it. He knows it. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. Do you know that there's a gift in us? There's a gift in each one of us, and it could just kind of be there. And sometimes we got to fan it. Because sometimes we're just sitting on it. And sometimes it needs to be fanned. Sometimes it needs to be stirred up. And Paul is saying, stir that up. Don't let it just sit there. Don't go numb. Don't go cold. Don't go into a zone. Stir it up. I say to you today, stir it up. You know, when I saw you up there, I think you were probably in grade 4 or 5, maybe, I don't know. You were up on the stage at school and you were doing something and you were in your dad's red house coat. I have no idea why we had you on the stage in your dad's red house coat. And there was something that stirred in me. There was something that stirred in me that I thought, she's supposed to be there. I could see this thing. I didn't know what it was. And then one day I was sitting at the piano, I was playing the piano, and the Holy Spirit said to me, ask Lisa if she wants to sing in the Young Canadians. And I thought, that's really weird. So Lisa came home, and I said, hey, would you like to sing with the Young Canadians? Some of you might not know who they are, but they're a singing group of the Stampede. And she said, sure, what are they? I said, well, they sing at the Stampede. And she said, okay. So, remember, so you sang the song about dinosaurs and you got in the Young Canadians. Stir it. It's God started something there, and we need to stir it up. Because God uses those gifts. So he's writing this to Timothy. Don't stay neutral. Get stirred up. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Now maybe this young man, it's hard to be young and it's hard to be courageous. And even at our age, even us, sometimes it's hard to not just let our fear overcome us and we sit down and be quiet when we should be standing up and speaking. We sit down when we should be moving. We sit down instead of serving. We sit down instead of saying, I'll go, choose me, pick me. Because we're afraid. He said, but that fear that's on you isn't from God. Because that's not the spirit. When you got fear, that's not God. So when you feel fear, I want you to just turn around to fear and say, that's not God. That's not from you, God. So we're going to speak to fear and we're going to just tell it to disappear. I didn't give you a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power. I gave you power. We've got power to be tough. We've got power given to us from God to be tough in the tough times. He gave us a spirit of love. Love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It doesn't keep a record of wrong. It is a big thing that we have love. And it covers everything. But it's not because you're so great and loving. It's because the Spirit of God that's in you is full of love. And that's what ought to be coming out of us. His love. My love dwindles. My love fades. My love sometimes gets really, really small. But God's love. But God's love. He said, I didn't give you a spirit of fear and timidity. I gave you power and a spirit of love and self-discipline. That we would be able to master ourselves. Master our thoughts. Sometimes we get thoughts. They're not God thoughts. Master them. You have the power to master those thoughts. You have the power to take that thought captive. And you have the power to say, I'm not thinking that. I'm not going there. So don't say, yeah, right on. So say, don't say, I can't. I can't. You can, you can, you can, you can in the power of God. Because he gave you a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. And you can master those things that are beating you up. You can master them in him. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. Sometimes you kind of want to be closet Christians. You know, sometimes we want to just tuck our Bible in a bag instead of hanging it up under our shoulder, under our arm. And sometimes we don't speak about Jesus because we don't want to be that person. Don't be ashamed of me either. Even though I'm in prison, it's kind of embarrassing when you've got a friend or a relative and they're in jail. How's your brother? Well, he's doing really good. You might be embarrassed, Paul. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed that I'm sitting here in jail. Don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. Sometimes we're going to suffer for the sake of the good news. Sometimes people aren't going to like you because of the good news that's in you. Sometimes people aren't going to like the gift that's coming out of you to them. Oh, well. Oh, well. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. Yeah, he sure did. He did this not because we deserved it. Hello. Not one of us here deserved it. That's not why he did. He didn't give you what you got because you were good. He didn't give you what you got because you were good enough or tried hard or read your Bible more than your neighbor or stopped cussing or smoking or drinking or swearing. That is not why. He did this not because we deserved it, because that was his plan from the beginning of time. From the very beginning, when you were in your mother's womb, he had a plan for you. He said, I have a plan for you. You're going to end up in a beautiful church with amazing pastors. That's what he said. I had a word from the Lord this morning. He knew where you were going to be. He knew where you were going to belong. He knew where you were going to come alive. He knew what he knows. He had a plan from the very beginning of time to show his grace, to show us his grace through Jesus Christ. Grace, grace, grace. Favor that we don't deserve, but favor that he chose to put on you. He chose to put it on you. He said, I choose you and I'm going to put my grace on you. And now he has made all this plain to us by the appearing of Christ Jesus, our Savior. He broke the power of death. He sure did. He sure did. I don't need to be afraid to die. You don't need to be afraid to die because he broke that. That's gone. And he illuminated the way of life and immortality through the good news. And God chose me to be, Paul, a preacher, an apostle, and teacher of the good news. He chose Paul. We know that Paul was a sinner. We know that Paul was persecuting the church. We know that Paul, he was just so religious. He was persecuting the church, and God chose him. So if God can choose him, he can surely choose you. That is why I'm suffering here in prison, but I'm not ashamed of it. For I know the one in whom I trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the day of his return. You know what Paul entrusted to God? He gave him his life. You know what you've entrusted God with? Your life. My whole life, your whole life is in his hands. You have entrusted yourself. If you haven't, do it. If you haven't completely entrusted yourself to him, do it. God, I trust you with my whole self, with whatever you do in my life, whatever you do in the life of my family, whatever my church, my friends. You're just going to, because you are worthy. He is worthy of our trust. He says, hold on to the pattern of wholesome teaching you learned from me. A pattern, there's a pattern. We get to follow a pattern. There is a pattern in the Bible for us. How blessed are we to sit in this place this morning, to sit under the word of God and find out how to live a holy, just life in the power of Jesus Christ. That's a blessing. This world that sits outside the walls of a church is lost. They're wondering. They don't know. We've got a pattern. I can't sew. You know my sewing nightmare stories. I have told you. My mother was a beautiful lady. She put me in sewing classes all summer, every day, on the bus, downtown to Singer Sewing Center. I hate sewing. It took me all summer to make an apron with the strings on wrong. It was horrible. People were making three-piece suits. What was I doing? I couldn't follow the pattern. People were pinning patterns, and they're cutting out, and they're following patterns, and I am lost. Mom, swimming, skating, horseback riding, running, sewing? It was 100 degrees in that place. Sometimes parents do weird stuff. That was right up there. That was right up there. Who was it that got a stamp collection for the... Was that wrong? What were they thinking? Oh, dear. A pattern shaped by the faith and love that you have in Christ Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us. Through the power... You're not running on your own gas. If I'm running on my own steam, I'm in trouble. If I'm running on my own steam, I'm not standing here today. If I'm running on my own steam, but I'm running on the power of the Holy Spirit. Through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you. Can't you just see him? He just got that. That kid is like he's right in front of me. He says, don't you give up. You keep on going. You keep the pattern. You follow, right? Follow the plan. He is pouring his life. We need to pour the life that you have. You need to take it and you need to pour it into somebody. And you don't know. I was telling PB on Friday night. One of the youth came in. He sat down. He came. One of the girls brought him, and he's sitting across from me. He told me his name, and I said, "Oh, do you know a Gary Zonzo?" He said, "Yeah, that was my dad." I said, "I had him in Backdoor Youth Church, and now I've got his kid. Holy, thank you, Jesus. He's still going. What I poured into that kid was absolutely unresponsive to me. Absolutely. One of the kids I could, what? His kid is at Revival. Come on, Jesus. Pour it into your kid. Drive them crazy. I don't care. I drive you. I don't care. Just pour it out. I know they roll their eyes and they go, here she goes again. I just dropped into your bedroom, sit in your chair and talk to you. And there you're going. You're preaching, right? You know it. Pour it out. And Paul says, as you know, everyone from the province of Asia has deserted me. Everybody has left him. Have you ever felt abandoned? He was abandoned. He's by himself. And all these people, Phygelus and Hermogenes, they're gone. The people that he thought, have you had people in your life that you thought would be there beside you thick and thin, and they would never go, and they're gone. Even believers, these guys are believers. Believers that worshiped with him, walked with him, stood by him, and he's saying, even they're gone. May the Lord show special kindness to once for us and all his family, because he often visited and encouraged me. He was never ashamed of me because I was in chains. There was one that hung in there. When he came to Rome, he searched everywhere until he found me. May the Lord show him special kindness on the day of Christ's return. And you know very well how helpful he was in Ephesus. Oh, Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you. Be strong. Oh, I texted that this morning. I texted it to myself. I said, be strong. Be strong. When you can't be strong, let Jesus be strong in you. Come on, Jesus, be strong in me right now, because I'm not strong right now. He can be strong for you. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Keep on telling the truth. He's grabbing that kid by the collar and he's saying, keep on going. Keep telling the truth. Keep talking. Keep sharing. Don't be timid. Endure suffering. Okay, so the word that I walked with all week was endure. Endure. What am I supposed to do? God, what am I supposed to do? And you know what he said? Endure. Keep going. Pick up your feet. Get up. Get dressed. Function. Endure suffering along with me. And then he talks about a good soldier of Christ. We're soldiers. Okay, so here we are. Here we are, soldiers. So what's a soldier? Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life. For then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. You know that the armed forces live in a different zone than we do. They're not in civilian life. They're under the command of the officer. And they're doing what the officer says. They're not doing what the world says. They're doing what the command comes down, and they do what they're supposed to do. You know what we are? We're soldiers. When the command comes down, we know what we're supposed to do. Go and do it. Don't listen to the word. Don't march to the word of the world. We're marching to the word of the Lord. We are his soldiers. We're going to listen for his voice. And then he says, and athletes. Now, so first we're soldiers, and then we're athletes. I know I might not look like an athlete, but inside I'm an athlete. Inside of this is an athlete. And as I'm looking out there, I'm thinking, inside of you, got to be an athlete, because it's not on the outside. So here we are. We're athletes. Athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules. You can't just go out on the track and run willy-nilly wherever you go, or jump over what you want to jump over. You got to follow the path that's set out for you. When you're on the sports team, you got to do what the coach says. You got to be in line. You got to be doing what you're supposed to be doing. And Paul has grabbed hold of this young man. He says, do what you're supposed to be doing. You're a soldier and you're an athlete. Do what the coach says. And then the third thing he tells us, we're hardworking farmers should be the first to enjoy the fruit of their labor. There is fruit for us. There is reward for us. When you are the soldier, when you are the athlete, and it doesn't seem like a lot of fun, and when my son who ended up playing hockey in Boston, when the rest of his friends were out having fun, he was running the track. He was in the gym. He was lifting weights. He didn't have a normal childhood. Well, he was in training, always in training. He had to watch what he ate. He had like a game day, special things when he had to eat. He was running to a different agenda. As Christian people, we're running to a different agenda. But there's rewards for that. There is fruit when you do that. Think about what I'm saying. He said, think about what I'm saying. The Lord will help you understand all these things. He says, always remember that Jesus Christ, a descendant of King David, was raised from the dead. When I read 1,000 years later, King David, and then 1,000 years later, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And you know what I want? I just pictured myself. I'm standing in the grocery store, and I just turn around, and I just say to the person behind me, always remember that Jesus Christ, a descendant of King David, was raised from the dead. Period. Right? Or just turn around and say, hey, I got news for you. Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. And then they're going to phone the cops. Wow, that woman is nuts. He says, this is the good news that I preach. The good news that we preach is God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And because he raised Jesus Christ from the dead, when you die, he's going to raise you from the dead. Amen. Let's go church. I preach it in Safeway. Preach it in, I'm not sure if there's a Safeway. Preach it in Co-op, Save-On, Walmart, Just turn around and let them know that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Excuse me, sir, did you know that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead? Come on, somebody, is there anybody here willing to try it besides me? I'm alone. I'm all alone. Oh, there we go. Okay, I'm going to hold you to it. All right. This is the good news that I preach. And because I preach this good news, I'm suffering. Sometimes when I preach the good news, it's not going to be all lollipops and, you know. Sometimes you preach the good news and you're going to suffer. I'm suffering and have been chained like a criminal. But the word of God cannot be chained. You can chain us up. You can try and shut us up. But his word is going to go on forever and ever. It's still going on now. It's still going on now. There's nothing can stop it. So I'm willing to endure anything. That's where I got really uncomfortable. Because I'm like, right then, I'm tough with you, Paul. I'm with you, and I'm, yeah. And then I come to the part, and it says, I'm willing to endure anything. I kind of went, I'm willing to endure a little bit of something. I'm not sure how big it's going to get. I want to be tough. I want to be tough. I'm willing to endure anything. If it will bring salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus, what if your suffering can bring somebody to Jesus? That makes it worth it. One more pair of feet in heaven because of your suffering. Sometimes that's how it happens. Sometimes your suffering can bring somebody. Why I'm willing to endure anything if it'll bring salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus to those God has chosen. This is a trustworthy saying. I hate that clock so much, Barry. Just saying. We got a great big old digital clock out there so that Barry won't preach long. I gotta have to talk real fast right now. Pause the clock, Rob. Okay. So then Paul says, this is trustworthy. He's listening. Yeah, stand in front of it. Thanks. If we die with him, we also live with him. Okay, death is, I'm going to die with him, I'm going to live with him. Death has no power over me. If we endure hardship, we're going to reign with him. You're enduring hardship right now, you're going to reign with him. Just put up with this temporary suffering right now, you're going to reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. We won't be doing that. There won't be any denying going on in here. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful. Because I know I'm unfaithful. Can you be unfaithful? We can be unfaithful. You know what? He says, I'm faithful. I'm staying with you. I'm with you in the long haul. I'm not going anywhere. I am not going anywhere. For he cannot deny who he is. Remind everyone. So he's saying to this kid, remind everyone about these things and command them in God's presence to stop fighting over words. Let's not argue over scripture. Oh, this really means this in the beginning. Stop. Just stop. Just turn around when that's happening and just say, did you know that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead? Because let's just bottom line everything. Stop arguing and fighting. There were some people in that time and they were all getting wise and dropping off their wisdom. Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker. He wants us to be soldiers, athletes, farmers, good workers. I want to work good. One who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. Avoid worthless, foolish talk that only leads to more godless behavior. This kind of talk spreads like cancer, as in the case of Hymenaeus and Philetus. They have left the path of truth. They went wandering off the path of truth. We can wander off the path of truth. And he's saying to this kid, don't you wander off the path of truth. Just stick to the truth. We can get all caught up in arguments. Claiming that the resurrection of the dead has already occurred. They were saying, oh, once you're born again, that's the resurrection. And they're trying to argue against the resurrection. We know the resurrection. We know what happened to Jesus. But God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with this inscription. The Lord knows those who are his. He knows you. He knows you. And all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil. We're going to turn away from evil because the spirit in us turns away from evil. In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions and the cheap ones for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Honorable use. God, just keep yourself pure, and he's going to pick you up, and he's going to use you to stir up something, to cut something, to serve something. Just keep ourselves pure in him. And you will be ready for the master to use you for every good work. We can say, God, use me for good work. No matter what else is going on, use me for good work. That's my prayer. Just use me for good work. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Run. Run. It doesn't say turn away or kind of saunter away or look back. It says run. Run away from anything that is stirred up in you that isn't from him. Instead, here's what we're supposed to pursue. Righteous living. Live a right life. Faithfulness, full of God. Love and peace. And pursue those things. Pursue those things. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. That's a church. Enjoy the companionship of those in the church. Again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. A servant of the Lord. That's what we are. We're all those things. We're all those things that he said. We're soldiers, athletes, farmers, good workers, servants of the Lord. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone. Y'all better beware and be kind. Isn't it sad that we have to wear t-shirts that say be kind? That's a terrible thing. It should be natural that we would be kind. Unfortunately, it's not. So we have to wear a t-shirt. So if you forget, then you can look at your t-shirt and go, oh, I'm supposed to be kind. Wow. So Paul tells us to be kind to just the people that you really like. You must be kind to everyone. Be able to teach and be patient with difficult people. Be patient with difficult. That means you got to be patient with me. I know I'm difficult. And I'm just asking you all to be patient with me. You wouldn't believe the patience of this man. Very patient, very patient. Yeah, a very patient man, yep. Thank God. God said, somebody's going to work with that woman, got to be patient, so I choose you. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Don't be banging them over the head with the Bible. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts, and they will learn the truth. And then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap, for they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. We're not going to argue. We're going to be kind. You know what we're going to teach? We're going to teach what we know. You know what? You know something in your faith. You know what your faith has done. You're going to just share that with people. I'm just going to share with you what I know. I don't need to quote scriptures and look really smart and everything. What I can do is I can tell you what I know. I can tell you what's happened in my life. And I'm going to be patient like Barry. I'm going to be gentle. And I'm going to be gentle. And God can work through me. You know what our hope is that God would so thoroughly work in us that somebody's heart would be changed. That somebody could run into us and they could go, whoa, something's going on there. Change my heart, oh Lord. Change my heart. That's our prayer. We're going to teach the truth. Imagine that we could help someone who's being held captive by the devil escape the plan that the enemy has for them. Imagine that. You in this place can help someone escape the plan of the devil. And you can help to set some captives free because the Lord is that big. And you know what we're going to be? We're going to be tough. I'm going to be tough. You guys are, sometimes I need you to be tough beside me. We're going to be tough together, right? Because tough stuff happens. And when tough stuff happens, we need other people around us that are going to be tough with us. You know what our goal is? Our goal is that everybody would come to know Jesus. And they would have the gift that we have. And so I just want to give you an opportunity right now. Let's just stand together for a couple seconds. Barry's going to come and serve communion if I shut up long enough. We just want to invite Jesus into our life. Because y'all know, if you're standing in here, y'all know that you're a sinner. Anybody got a problem? I know. Anybody else know they're a sinner? We all know that we're sinners in need of a Savior. Fortunately, there is one. Let's pray together. Pray this after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know I need a Savior, and I know His name is Jesus. I believe He died on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins. So I ask you now, forgive me for all my sins. Come into my life. Be my Lord, my Savior, and my King. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me your wisdom and direction, and lead me in the way everlasting. We love you, Jesus. We willingly surrender our lives to you now. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.